Welcome to The Wolf Den, the podcast about the business and people of podcasting. Chris Bannon has the day off because he really needed it. I'm Lex Friedman. Today, our guests are Alex Ramsey and Joe Cilio from Forever Dog Podcast Network. But before we get to them, before we get to Alex and Joe, we're going to do everybody's favorite Wolf Den segment, Shows We're Jealous Of, a section where we highlight shows we like that aren't mid-roll shows. The show I'm going to highlight today is Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard. It's silly because a lot of times I think when we highlight shows here, it's shows that you haven't discovered, and Apple Podcasts cannot stop promoting this show. I was begrudgingly listening to this show because it's not a mid-roll show, and I true transparency, I wanted it to be, and it's not. But I listened to it, and Dax is actually a really good, I don't know if I would call him an interviewer or a conversationalist. In fact, I do know. I would call him a conversationalist, but he's very funny. He gets great guests. Our own Katie Couric, I like calling her our own Katie Couric was recently on his show, but he gets like big guests, both from a podcasting space and from just the world. He did an incredible episode with Ellen DeGeneres. He had Zach Braff on, and I loved, especially as a Gilmore Girls guy, not a host of Gilmore Guys, but as a Gilmore Girls guy, I liked the Lauren Graham episode quite a bit. So that's the show I'm jealous of. Alex, Joe, do you have shows you're jealous of?
We sure do. Okay, so
go ahead, Alex.
I right now am jealous of the Marvel Long Night show on Stitcher. It was like that was the show that got me to officially subscribe, and the sound design is absolutely incredible. It's amazing to listen to, and I was absolutely blown away by it. And I think
arms are raised in victory formation right now.
My gosh, yeah. No, I believe it was like recorded in like 360 or something like that, right?
That's exactly right. We used this fancy, expensive studio and microphones where it was recording them in 3D space. So Wolverine, you like that one.
I really do. And
Harry, you can pay Alex the $50 we promised.
Yeah, I'll take 50. I'm out. Thank you so much. This was a pleasure.
Did you use a promo code when you signed up for Stitcher?
Yeah, please. I was blown away by it. I thought it was just the textures of the entire mix was just it was insane. It was the best sound design I have ever heard on a podcast. So that was saying something.
Thank you. I will tell you candidly, the only thing I had to do with the Wolverine podcast was like green lighting the money we spent on making it. My favorite thing about the show, besides the show itself, is when I finally met the writer, Ben Percy, whom I had never seen in person before, never met before. He comes up, he's like, "Hello, I am Ben Percy, the writer." And I was like, he sounds like he should be the fucking lead actor on the show. And it's just his voice. And it was incredible.
So how much?
Yeah, how much?
How much to make? We want to know.
Same $50 that I just paid out to Rhoda, that was all it was.
We got a huge deal.
Man, that's a bang for your buck. Good for you guys.
Joe, do you have a show you're jealous of?
You know, a little different, but a show that I am jealous of and enamored with. So Alex and I are from Philadelphia, and we're huge Sixers fans.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Trust the process, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's.
I'm also from Pennsylvania, by the way.
Oh, you are? Amazing. Where from? Let's do
this. I grew up in Wyomissing, outside Reading. Okay. So I'm an Eagles fan.
Rock and roll. That's great. Do you listen to Rights to Ricky Sanchez?
No, teach me about it.
Oh, man. All right. So to all your Philadelphia listeners and to all basketball lovers, and you know what? Lovers of life, I'd say. There's a great podcast hosted by Spike Eskin and Mike Levine. It's a Sixers podcast. It's called Rights to Ricky Sanchez. And I love it, because I'm a Sixers fan, and it's great talk, and they've been through the whole process. You know, they've been there week in, week out, talking Sixers for 5 years now, whatever. But also, as a podcast maker, I'm jealous of it because they've secured such like a dense, localized audience, right, in a specific town. And their numbers are terrific. And they, you know, the ads, sales, and they have a great strategy for all that.
It's just like great localized ads.
It makes me think about, you know, and then, you know, I was lucky enough to hang out with Spike in Philly a little bit, doing some shows. And he was telling me about, he's a really nice guy. And he was telling me a little bit about how, you know, we're talking about radio versus podcasting and talking about the transitioning his radio audience. He works for WIP in Philadelphia to the podcasting space and how, what the difference is and all that stuff. And, you know, I think it's exciting. And it's also, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that model translates. See, this is a very popular sports podcast and a very specific market, and it's very successful in that market. And sometimes you don't need to hit every single city and every single country, I guess, to really have like a, you know, like, you know, make money on your podcast, essentially.
And then
I love that.
And then there was one more. It was a small little podcast, Serial.
Yeah, you jealous of that one too?
Yeah, I'm jealous of that one.
Super jealous of Serial because it like made podcasting.
Oh right,
like big.
Yeah, we're jealous.
That's why I like Serial.
Yeah, what's number one on the charts, Lex? That's what we're that's what we're most jealous of.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, yeah, I'm jealous of any show that unseats any mid-roll show in the rankings.
I know. What's it like being mid-roll? Is that something?
Tell us.
It's good. It's good. I'm not going to lie to you. It's pretty good. I mean,
what's your 2018 net revenue?
It's again $50.
Okay, all right, cool. So we're all in the same playing field. I love that. So that's amazing.
Once again, we're here with Alex Ramsey and Joe Cilio, two of the co-founders of Forever Dog Podcast Network, which they call an innovative podcast from next level comedians.
Mm.
So, guys, thank you for being here.
Thank you very
much. Tell
me,
it's an innovative podcast network for next level comedians, but tell me, first of all, what really is Forever Dog Network? And the follow-up question, how did you form?
Sure. So the Forever Dog Podcast Network is a collection of podcasts by talent that we think are distinctive, have unique comedic voices, a diverse set of voices, and ultimately are a podcast that we would be happy to throw on, right? That we actually want to listen to. Because, you know, besides all the Earwolf and Midroll podcasts, you know, I can't think, you know, sometimes it's, you know, we wanted to curate a network that really, you know, played to our sensibilities as the co-founders.
Yes.
So, and, you know, to do so, we just looked around at, so we're sort of from the New York theater and comedy world.
Nerds.
I know. And it was so devastating. They were like, we need to get some cultural cachet. So we went with podcasting, the hippest, coolest art form. So we looked around and literally, you know, so we used to be theater people. We still are theater people. We, you know, we come from playwriting and directing and being on stage. And we had done, you know, a million shows in a million basements, and we worked our butts off, and everyone does, you know. You work so hard, and then you pray to God that 15, 20 people roll into your 11 p.m. show in the basement. And
yes.
You work so hard on this thing. And, you know, there's all the rehearsal expenditures and, you know, and all the rooms and the hours
props.
Put in, right? All the funny props.
All the goofy, silly props.
So, and that was great, but we're like, this is like going to be funny to people that work in podcasting. We're like, you know, podcastings are so freaking cheap. You know, you just get some mics, right? You sit around the table.
That's all it is.
Yeah, you throw a couple bucks at some mics and you talk and you get thousands of listeners, right? And we're like, oh my God, if we could tell our stories this way, we could reach such a bigger base. And who knows, maybe in 2 years, this thing could turn a profit, right? That would be great. So that was sort of the inception there. And so while we were still doing theater, we built out like a, you know, 8 podcast, like quote unquote network, right? A network in the sense that we produced all the shows.
Yep.
And it's grown a lot since then. But, you know, and through a lot of trial and error and a lot of hard work, we were able to, you know, acquire bigger and bigger talent, develop stronger and stronger shows, get larger and larger audiences, and create a community around the Forever Dog podcast. I mean, there's no mystery here. We wanted to emulate, you know, like an Earwolfy kind of vibe where, you know, people, or Max Fun, I guess, or whatever, you know, people love these podcasts. So you might love Comedy Bang Bang, but like, then you're also going to check out the other ones because you trust the Earwolf brand, right? And we wanted to do the same thing. We were like, let's build a network where we're proud of anything, can send anybody to any podcast, and really work on building a Forever Dog community and brand.
Yeah, and we were also, you know, as we were coming up, we were just surrounded by so many talented comics and writers and actors,
yeah.
And we wanted to find a way to work with them, to work with them and produce their work, and podcasting was just such an awesome way to do that. So we kind of just like looked around and we're like, who are the people that we've always wanted to work with?
Yeah, who's making us laugh every single night in those basements?
Every single night.
And how can we collaborate to, you know, get out of the basement and attract, you know, thousands and thousands.
Exactly. So we started putting together a slate of people who we just absolutely loved, worked with them to help produce their shows. And then kind of that's how we got to our initial slate. And then as Joe was saying, we kind of grew from there.
And luckily, good work just begets good work. So people take an interest in what you're doing and they see other people, you know, getting a fun, cool show, and then they reach out and you can really build off that. And just making sure that we always produce high quality stuff, always make sure that we give our talent, you know, the best, even though we were just starting out. And then we developed from there and now we're proud. So Yeah, we have a lot of new shows coming out soon.
And so, well, so initially you were going to, Forever Dog Productions was going to do film, theater, podcast, blogs, all the things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you still are in all the different places, but the podcasting side is your focus. Is that right?
That's correct.
100%. So back in the day, Brett Boehm is our partner, the third
Listen,
one
he's
us.
Not here, so I don't think he qualifies.
Yeah, no, saying. he's out.
I've never met him or seen
You're
him,
in.
But apparently, yeah.
Yes, I am the third co-founder.
You are the third co-founder of Forever Dog. That'd be great.
Be huge for
bring
us.
A wealth of experience. So the, what was I saying? Oh, so Brett and Alex and I, oh, we just, you know, back in the old days, we needed a sort of an umbrella to sort of put our stuff under. And we came up with Forever Dog and we built that into a production company. And we kind of worked with people like in the theater and in film. But then eventually when we hit upon podcasting, we really sort of, we're totally a podcast network now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all we do.
Yeah, that's our main thing. And I remember very distinctly that moment where we were like, oh, this is like a thing. You know, because we had started doing our short films, and then we were doing larger theater projects at the time. But then, as the podcasting started to grow and we started having just so many awesome, hilarious, talented people just cycling through the studio, we were like, wow, there's really something to this. And then at the same time, you know, Serial came out and the medium was just kind of growing, and
it's a calculated effort as well. So we don't, you know, like every other podcast company, we also have aspirations to get those properties back onto TV, and I'm in, into the theater, do the live space. You know, we take pride in our
VR.
Live shows.
Yeah.
You know, 3D. Like every podcast network, we want VR.
A 4D amusement park ride. Yeah.
So what were some of the first shows that you launched with that are still happening now?
The two shows that we launched with that are still happening now are Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang, which is a pop culture podcast that has, you know, it was one of our biggest, if not our biggest podcast. Las Culturistas has been with us since the beginning. And the other one is the Book of Ye podcast with Rob Hayes and Chris Daniels. It's a podcast about Kanye West, and they've been with us since the beginning as well. And it's kind of incredible to have worked with those guys, all so talented and special for so long. And
it's been more than 6 years, right? You started in 2012?
No, so we started in 2012. That was back in our theater days. The podcast network.
Got it.
We started dabbling with podcasts 2 years ago.
Got it.
But we got really serious about podcasting and making this like a real business, like you guys and like everyone else, and being a competitor in the industry about a year ago.
Well, you guys are competitors. This interview is over.
Right.
Forever Dog is growing and growing, right? You're bi-coastal. You've got studios in New York and LA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you've been... it's the real deal. And you've also, you're doing the same thing that Midroll sometimes is, right? Where you're acquiring other shows. I know that you recently got Teen Creeps from Feral and you got Writer's Panel from Nerdist. I'm guessing it's no longer called Nerdist Writer's Panel.
No, we kept it. It was very controversial
like
choice.
Yeah, no.
Featuring Mark Maron.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, acquisitions are just a great way to, I mean...
Bring in
someone with a history and a fan base. And there's plenty of podcasts. We did Who You Jealous Of. There's a million podcasts we're jealous of. And we'd love to work with so many of these talented people, right? So we provide, in our opinion, you know, a lot of value to our talent. And we're proud of that. So we do like to acquire podcasts. And we have some more acquisitions coming down the line. That's...
It's not my shows, right?
No, God.
So,
WTF, This American Life,
Wolf Den.
Listen, I'll go anywhere. Actually, here's what drives me. Talk about money for a minute. And I know you're asking me about mid-rolls revs, but how does Forever Dog make money? And I especially want to get into Patreon, but before we go specific on Patreon, but how do you guys make money?
So we looked at the
Or am I assuming facts, not in evidence?
We're just wearing so much gold. Yeah. We're wearing a suit of armor that's
right
just
now.
Like made of gold.
You wouldn't ask twice if you could see our clothes. No, but we looked at what everyone else did to make money, right? And we said, you know what, let's see how many of these things we can do right as well. And we have a strategy, and there are some things that we've... you know, prioritize over other verticals, but essentially, you know, we sell ad space like everybody else. We make branded content like everyone else, and we have IP to our shows and hope to develop them in other spaces like everybody else. And Patreon is part of some of our
like engagement
podcasts. It's not like, you know, we, I mean, to just be to be candid, like when we look at the premium space and Stitcher Premium and everything, you know, we don't necessarily have the stuff right now to be able to build out something like that or to compete with something like that where it's sort of that premium model. But there are plenty of podcasts, both on networks and that are indie, that make a boatload of money on Patreon, and it's also a great way to engage the fan base, like Alex said.
Yeah. And we've also, yeah, so it's advertising. We just started to start going into the branded content space, which is really great.
Oh, nice.
And yeah.
Anything you can announce yet that you're working on or no?
Yeah, we've made some podcasts for different like entertainment companies and stuff. And then, you know,
cool.
We try to bring, you know, like, you know, we try to bring the Forever Dog sensibility. To
get some Forever Dog in there. Yeah,
right. Exactly.
And yeah, we also like what we found was all like, yeah, for Patreon and engaging with the people who actually listen to the show, we try every now and then to incorporate the Patreon into the world of the show as well.
Right. Of course.
So one of our podcasts, The Podcast for Laundry, it is a podcast hosted by Brett Davis, and it's the whole idea of it is he creates a podcast about laundry because everybody does laundry, so therefore it's universal, and therefore everybody will listen to it.
Right, and it all comes out in the wash.
Exactly.
Thank you.
So, but it's really just like a podcast that's just documenting this man just descending into madness, and but we started a Patreon for that show, and the whole idea is that he starts doing all these like spin-off podcasts that premiere exclusively on Patreon, with the whole idea being that he's like just slowly starting to build his own podcast network within our podcast network, like via Patreon. So yeah, we try to find ways for it to kind of like exist within the world of the show.
And then I guess the last way to make revenue at Forever Dog and other podcast companies is live shows. So we do,
yes.
And we take a lot of pride in our live shows, and we never want people to sit at the table and talk, because we come from the theater world. We always try to make them as dynamic as possible, as exciting as possible.
Theatrical, yeah.
As theatrical as possible. And yeah.
So like one of our, like with Las Culturistas, that's probably the best example of that. Like the show is Matt Rogers and Bone Yang talking with a guest about, you know, pop culture and the culture that inspired them to be artists or comedians or whatever. But then at the end of the show, they have a segment called I Don't Think So, Honey, where they take 1 minute to rail against something in culture that's really pissing them off. And for the live show, we kind of worked with them to develop that into a 50-person I Don't Think So, Honey, where you get 50 comedians to go off on something for 1 minute. So it's just like an absolute party. It's like the best show in town.
Their shows are nuts.
They're nuts. You. So it's just like that's kind of our approach to live. We do like to kind of give them something different and try to make it as theatrical. And
I love that.
Yeah.
Now, on the Patreon side, not every show on the Forever Dog Network is using Patreon. Is that right?
That's right.
And how do you decide which shows will or won't?
It's a choice between talent and us, essentially. Now, do you want to do Patreon? Do you have time to do a Patreon? Would you like to make more money? And I hope they say yes.
Yeah.
I just want to throw out there that this is not a sales pitch, and they're just between the three of us, since there's nobody else listening. you can participate in something like Stitcher Premium, for example, Stitcher Premium, even if you're from another network. You know, we've got Marin, who's us, but we've got Smodcast, who's not. And like Marvel isn't a mid-roll property or anything, but they're there in Stitcher. I'm just saying, like, you can put your shows behind a paywall also, in addition, or bonus episodes, archives, whatever, even if you're not a mid-roll show. I just want to put that out there.
Pressure. We're looking at just shaking our head. What the heck is going on in here? Unbelievable with this guy.
Send over the paperwork.
That's super cool.
How is Let's
Stitcher,
get it
in. How Stitcher Premium is pretty awesome. You guys have shows behind on Stitcher Premium that I haven't heard about, but then I checked it out. I was like, whoa, there's actually a lot of good stuff on Stitcher Premium itself.
Oh my God. It's phenomenal. I will tell you candidly that for a while I was using a different podcast app for my free listening, and then I would only go into Stitcher to hear Stitcher Premium. Then I eventually started dog fooding. Like Stitcher got to the place where it was like I was all in. And so I was spending more time browsing Premium. I found shows I didn't even know we had made that I genuinely loved.
Dude, you have to go to work more. Like,
yeah, I know. I should pay attention in meetings.
Right.
Is the message.
No, it's cool.
It really is. I'm not trying to turn this into an ad for Stitcher Premium. Although sign up right now using promo code, I don't know, Wolfden.
No,
but
that's awesome.
So wait, but it's yeah. It, go ahead.
Yeah, how it? You know, we're here, and I know you're interviewing us. But how is Stitcher Premium going? Is that like because I think
a colossal failure. Like it's
right. I understand. No, but are you seeing like and I know that this is kind of interesting, but like, are you seeing like a good transition from like your podcast listeners in just regular freemium space onto the premium model? Like, are you happy with the conversion rates into that? Basically, as a podcast network, are people picking up on the fact that maybe you have to pay for good podcasts soon, or you know, I guess you can't say not really, but
just I'm going to answer that question. About, yeah. I'm going to answer that question candidly.
Okay, cool.
Right after we take this break.
All right, great.
I'm teasing it, but Stitcher Premium, more with the creators of Forever Dog right after this. If you have a cat, you know the worst part of cat ownership is the litter box. But imagine having a lightweight, odorless, dust-free cat litter that monitors your cat's health and gets delivered right to your door every month. That's Pretty Litter. Pretty Litter solves for the pains of having a litter box, all while keeping tabs on your cat's health. It changes color when it detects common feline illnesses in your cat's pee. I have the same effect. Typical cat litter is heavy, dusty, smells, and you need 30 pounds of it to last a month. Pretty Litter is lightweight. It's 80% lighter than other cat litters, in fact. 1 4-pound bag lasts an entire month for one cat. Not to mention, it has the best odor control of any other cat litter, and it's dust-free. No more dusty, smelly cat boxes. Pretty Litter even ships right to your door every month for free. Choose your ship dates, skip a month, cancel any time. No tricks, no hassle, just a better cat litter delivered when you need it. Discover the world's best cat litter today. Go to prettylitter.com and use code WOLFDEN to get 20% off your first order. That's prettylitter.com and use the code WOLFDEN. prettylitter.com, promo code WOLFDEN. Want a weekly news podcast that keeps you informed but doesn't take itself too seriously? Subscribe to Fake the Nation, an Earwolf podcast hosted by comedian Nagin Farsad, recorded right here in this very studio. Every Thursday, Nagin invites her favorite comedians, writers, and policy buffs to dish on the news of the week. You'll hear about the ever-evolving chaos in the White House, the Russia investigation, and hard-to-understand topics like what is going on in Syria? And where is Syria? Recent guests include Baratunde Thurston, John Fugelsang, Judy Gold, and John Lovett from Pod Save America. And just this week, they recorded a special live episode of the show featuring Earwolf favorite John Hodgman. You can listen to it right now. The conversations are loose-lipped, insightful, and smart, much like myself. That's right, you'll keep up with current events while laughing through the pain. Find Fake the Nation on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. New episodes drop every Thursday, just in time for your commute home. We're back with Alex Ramsey and Joe Cilio, the two most important co-founders of Forever
you.
Dog
and
the Forever
Noted. Dog podcast. I'm gonna clip that.
Yeah. That's for
Thanks
us.
For not being here, Brett. you had asked me before the break, is Stitcher Premium working? Like, how's it going? Here's the reality. We have more than 50,000 hours of original content there. And the whole idea, I use Weird Al Yankovic as my go-to example for everything in life. The whole idea behind Stitcher Premium when it was initially Howl, its old name, was like, so, and this was pre-serial, right? So sometimes there are podcasts or podcasters that we want to work with who don't want to or can't commit to doing 50 episodes of a show a year. And that was our whole model, right? We can sell ads and we can monetize it over 50 weeks. But if you want to come in and do like 6 episodes, I don't know how to monetize that. Because at the time it was like, I could sell it for way too little and leave money on the table. I could sell it for way too much and then owe money back and have no way to get refunds. Or I maybe could get it just right, but that doesn't seem super likely. So if Weird Al Yankovic said he could give me 6 episodes, now what? But if it's a paywall opportunity, then I can say, you know what? I can predict that this will drive this many people to sign up and they're going to pay me $5 a month. And I know that after I give Apple its cut or whatever, and I do a rev share with the host, like that we'll end up with this left over. That's another business model for us, right? And it was our way of saying, like, we know that the ad sales business is fickle. We continue to have tremendous success in the ad sales side, but like if there's a big economic collapse, we know that ad dollars can sometimes go away.
Well, now that is a contingency plan. That is interesting. I never thought about it that way.
And so,
if the economy collapses, then we have Stitcher Premium.
Right. At least everybody will keep their $5 a month Stitcher Premium. That's one thing. Not like the general idea was like, you know, if people listen, we're always going to have way more free listeners, right? Yeah. People would prefer to listen for free. NBC shows typically are always going to get more viewers than an HBO show. On the flip side, we know now that we can say, like, what's the best way to say this without giving away too many trade secrets? I can make a show like Wolverine because I have multiple revenue streams for it, right? If I can combine what the premium play is going to be then with an ad-supported release at the end of the year and know that I've got those two different revenue sources which are additive to each other, like at no point is premium robbing us of free-to-listen listens and ad-supported listens, right?
Right.
If it ever got to that point, it's probably still worth it, but it's not. So we're always going to have way more people listening to shows for free. But I would say that overall, Stitcher Premium is a success story. It's exceeded every metric we set for it early on. Every new show we launched, like Wolverine, meets or exceeds our goals. So we're either really good at setting our goals and having low expectations, or I think the reality is it's just kind of working. Like it's going well, which is why Forever Dog should definitely call me and... we'll talk. But so, you know, as you're looking at, you know, your slate of shows, mm-hmm. how do you decide whether a comedian is right to host a Forever Dog show? How do you decide, like, yes, you've got the Forever Dog voice or sensibility when you're vetting what shows you should add?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're at a point right now. So, like, me, Joe, and Brett produce all the shows. So we are like there, and we've worked together for so long. Like, I've known Joe and Brett for like about a decade. So a lot of it, we share a lot of the same comedic sensibilities, and we kind of have a very clear idea of what that Forever Dog voice sounds like. And it's just kind of a feeling, and it's a comedian or an artist or somebody who comes in who has a very clear vision of what they want. Based upon the idea, we really just bring them in, and if it feels right to us, we always want to kind of, you know, just give them a shot, and you know, like,
I mean, you know, do they make us laugh? Right? Is their idea, is the concept for the podcast funny? Are they, if it's two people, do they have like a dynamic chemistry? I mean, essentially, it's just a matter of, you know, taste and looking at social and just gambling on the fact that this young talent is going to pop because we trust their talent. We, you know, it's not always, oh, they got a million Twitter followers for us. Sometimes it's like, this person is, they don't got a million Twitter followers today, but lordy, lordy, they're going to have a million Twitter followers in a year. And we're willing to take the time and grow with them and give them a platform and be there at the inception of their, like, of their blossoming career and, you know, have a working relationship, you know, maybe beyond the podcast. We're young. We have a long life, and we're not planning on going anywhere. So, you know, make a lot of friends with the great people and work together in positive ways. And, you know, that's how we decide where this person has so much potential and upside. I mean, we know how that we have some strategies to grow a podcast and put on a good, fun show. And together we think that we can succeed. So essentially it comes down to, do we have the bandwidth to take on another podcast? And how fast can we make money on it? And is this person funny? And we think that they can grow. And, and we like ambitious podcasts as well, podcasts that are exciting and that are a little different and that, you know, I mean, that's something comes in and it's pretty ambitious and special and sounds unique, which is getting harder and harder. There's a trillion podcasts, you may or may not know, but there are some unique voices with really fun, unique ideas. And I believe our current slate is representative of that. And I think that a lot of the podcasts we have coming out in the next month or two will also be exciting and
Are there ever comedians who come that you think, you know what, you're just, this is not the right fit for Forever Dog?
All the time.
Yeah. There is definitely, like, there's no, like, specific type of comedian that we are looking for. It's really just, like Joe said, like, we evaluate the idea, our bandwidth, and we'll have an idea, like, right from the get-go whether or not it's, like, our tone.
Yeah, there are a lot. Yeah, unfortunately, there are plenty of people that we have to pass on.
Is it typically shows or comedians coming to you, or is it typically you reaching out and saying, "Hey, we'd like to build a show with you"? What's the most common way of a show actually getting onto the network?
It's a good question. I think it's a little bit of both. I think we always have our wish list of people that we really do want to work with.
Yeah,
but we've been lucky enough. We've grown a lot this past year, and I think that we're starting to get a lot of people come to us, but then we kind of like field all those, but then at the same time are always having a consistent list of people who we want to work with, who have been guests on other podcasts that we'd love to one day work with.
Totally.
So it's a combination of both. I wouldn't say that like it's all, you know, us going out there, or it's all we're fielding, you know, like requests.
It's a blend. I mean, look, also, you know, we're building out a community of people that have not already are built out, but that swim in the same circles. You know, they're our I don't know what the right word is, contemporaries. You know, there are the people we've grown up with. They're the people that that they know that we put on good shows. And they also like know my cell phone number or can email us, and they're not as scary as like Earwolf, right? Or whatever. So what? if you're young and, I mean, no, I'm saying like, you know, maybe the barrier to entry in their minds that Earwolf, it would be greater, right? It'd be like, might be harder to get that if you don't have an agent or something. I mean, trust me, all our talent, unfortunately, has agents.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
They're all brutal, but no, I'm kidding. They're all great. I can't wait to work with all of them.
Nope, they're all brutal.
They're all brutal. Quote Joe Cilio on agents. But I think that people see the, like, I hope, because I own the company, and I hope it's true to other people as well, that Forever Dog is like a cool place to be. And if you have a hip, cool, young show, you want to be surrounded by these other hip, cool, young people. To be really simple about it. And I think that that's kind of true. I mean, I also own the company.
Right. But, you know, fair.
You know, I do believe that to be true.
And so one of your hosts is Kevin McDonald.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of young and hip.
He has called podcasting, and this is a direct quote, "the last refuge of the comedy scoundrel."
Dark.
First, I'd like you to explain what that means to me. Speak for Kevin. And then second, he's also admitted that he doesn't know how to listen to them. So have you considered showing him how to listen to podcasts?
I've considered buying him a cell phone. I've considered flying to Canada and showing him iTunes on his computer. No. So why does Kevin say that podcasting is the last refuge of a comedy scoundrel? I think it's because, well, first of all, Kevin McDonald is a great guy, and he's been with us for a long time, and he's brought so much, you know, joy and value and everything to Forever Dog, and we love him. But so he says that he's self-deprecating as part of his humor, and you know, I think the people in his generation, you know, he used to be on TV, and podcasting is new, and I think that a lot of people that are younger know how, like, you know, great a podcast can be, like, you know, like how much exposure it can give you, how much fun it can be, how all the amazing things you can do in the medium. But for Kevin, it's like, oh man, I guess no one's giving me a TV show, so I guess I got to do a podcast, is sort of what he's saying. But that's not true at all. And because we've decided to just turn his podcast into a whole entire, like a whole live show extravaganza with, you know, amazing guests and music and sketches, and you know, it's a real party atmosphere for his show. We did, like, up until this point they've all been live. We're transitioning soon, and we're gonna have like a sketch show, essentially, you know, a in-studio build out sketch show with him every other week, coming out maybe next month. And it's been amazing as a comedy writer ourselves to learn from Kevin, and to be able to write with Kevin is exciting and fun. And then teaching Kevin how — Kevin doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to listen to it, but all he has to do is put on a great show, and he's just happy that everyone shows up and loves the live show.
Like, what we do is we work really closely with him, like, to write the script and to put the show together. And you know, that's really like the where he has the most say, because what we're doing after is just kind of like cutting it up, putting in transitions, making it like mixing, mastering, and then kind of putting it out there. But we work really closely with him in the, you know, like pre-production show process. So that's where.
Yeah. I mean, he always brings the goods, and he trusts us as his friends and collaborators to make sure it gets on iTunes. You know, and he's happy, you know? Yeah.
So does working in the business of comedy, are you still able to find it funny? Are you still able — does it suck some of the humor out of it for you, or do you still get to laugh at the shows you guys are putting out every day and all that?
That's — we still laugh.
We still laugh. We still laugh. It's still funny.
Yeah.
If it's funny,
that's kind of like,
we're tired and we want to go home and we wish we didn't have to work 700 hours a day. But
same.
But like, you know, these people are funny.
But it also goes back to like our philosophy of like finding people too. Like, we find people who still make us laugh.
Yeah,
you know, like throughout.
If they came in and they were miserable and they half-assed the show, well, first of all, they wouldn't be on a network. But second of all, like, you know, we only work with people that we like, essentially, and that are fun to work with. And it's, you know, it is a business, and we still have, you know, conversations with people that are businessy and difficult, and we produce the show. But ultimately, these are nice, funny people, and they do make us laugh every day. Yeah.
Now, I certainly feel, and I'm guessing you agree, but feel free to fight me on this, that podcasting has contributed to comedians, to the comedy community in general, that it's spread more, at least initially, less well-known comedians. I think it certainly helps comics who want to be able to tour more and, you know, fill bigger venues, mm-hmm. get their names out there more. I think it was good for Mark Maron.
Mm-hmm,
what do you think Forever Dog specifically is adding to that? Like, how are you contributing to the comedy community? What good are you adding in there?
Yeah.
Radio silence.
Yeah.
No.
Bye.
I think that we've offered a platform to a lot of people that definitely deserve more exposure. You know, yep. People that they might be blowing up in the New York comedy scene or LA, or maybe they're at Just for Laughs and like that seems big in the comedy community. Of course it's big in the comedy community, right? But, you know, still when you come outside of the industry, rigmarole, New York, LA, like bubble of comedy, then people don't know who you are. But with these podcasts, I don't got to tell you or anybody that listens to the show, I'm sure, like, you can fly them all over the country. People come out in droves and they're psyched and it's like their best friend. You know, that's what people say about podcasting. And it's so true.
Yeah.
They build these sub communities, these whole worlds of fans around this podcast that perhaps they wouldn't have gotten as quickly or as specifically had they just stayed the course. I mean, if you're a stand up, that's a very specific way to success. And that's very sort of like you tour and people come and you grow. But for some of our, you know, some of like the writers and the sketch comedians and the performers, and I mean, the podcasting has opened up just so many opportunities to show what you got. And we love giving people yes. opportunities to show what you got. And, you know, they bring it every day. And it's a pleasure. I mean, because we feel it this way. I feel like any performer might feel this way. It's like, you know, you work so hard.
Yeah.
And every performer is their own production company. They got the marketing and the Twitter and they're making graphics for their show and they're begging 20 people, you know, to come out. And it's so hard. So yeah, I think it's really gratifying to can be able to really connect with tons and tons of people. I think,
yes.
I think that's what we're contributing. And I hope that we're contributing, bringing a lot of new voices to people's ears and people's commutes and people's walks and people's dinners that they might not necessarily have had an opportunity to interact with or hear from before.
I love that. And what's next? What are some future projects that you want to spill the beans on right now, or some shows you have coming up that you're excited about, or other things that you guys are working on?
Yeah, since we've kind of brought together like such a, like a really cool young group of performers. We're starting to look into more of the narrative shows as well. That's something that we're really interested. We have two narrative shows that we have already on the network, Turner Masters Memory Hospital and Scary Secrets of Stasis PA, which were like our first two comedic, narratives. And now we kind of want to keep moving with that. That's definitely, and then we just want to kind of continue growing the network. We have 10 new shows that are coming out over the next 3 months, which we're really excited about. And it has all, you know, from all these different categories. We have like character pieces. We have a lot of different stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, Alex said it. Sorry. That was late.
I thought maybe there was some debate about should we
make
this other thing?
10 new shows. What are you talking about? Yeah, an amusement park.
And an amusement park. It's a horrible idea.
But yeah, with tons of exciting stuff coming to Forever Dog Podcast Network. I think people are going to, you know, if you haven't taken notice of us yet, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, welcome to Forever Dog. I hope you check us out now. And really, I hope that we bring in and all sorts of new people with our new slate of shows.
Yeah.
And continuing to make these ambitious choices and podcasts that are a little different than other networks. Not bad or good, just different, you know? There's different kinds of stuff that we
so
can
guys,
all do. Yeah.
A lot. And my notes here say a lot, and so I know it's true. A lot of podcasters and aspiring podcasters and podcast entrepreneurs listen to The Wolf Den. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's awesome.
Millions, maybe billions. So
uh-oh.
Shit.
We like to ask our guests to share some advice. And I guess the two questions I have for you, because I always give you two in a row. So there's two of you, so you can split them. But like, what do you wish you knew when you were first starting Forever Dog that you know now? What do you wish you could go back in time and tell yourselves as you were just starting out? And then I'll start there. Let's start with that one. What do you wish you knew that you now know that you didn't know then that would have made it a little bit easier when you were first building Forever Dog?
Everything? All of it?
All the things.
All the things? I can say like, I have an advice thing first. I'm going to still think about the many things I wish I knew.
Okay.
But the advice I would give is, especially with like shows in the comedy world, like the best shows are always the ones that like the talent really, really deeply cares about. It's a show that it's not like they're the third thing that they're doing or the fourth thing, but it's the thing that they're looking forward to every single week. They're stoked to promote it. They're stoked to like continue building the brand, like when they're not in the studio. So a lot of times we'll have people who come in and it'll be like kind of a half-hearted idea or something that's not fully fleshed out. And it just feels like it's not, you know, a priority for them. But if you are the number one advocate for your show and you are like grinding, trying to get it out there, that always is like what distinguishes between like, for us, a successful podcast and a not successful podcast. Let me think about.
Oh my God, Chris Bannon would love that answer so much. That's his guiding mantra for us as we think about hosts to work with. Like, it's got to be the thing they're working on. It's got to be like one of the most important things. If it's item number seven on their to-do list, like it's not going to be a good show. They're not going to put in the time and the dedication. So
that's it. Yeah. And especially
why wouldn't it be the number one thing they're working on? Podcasts can bring just immense value to you.
Yeah. And I know, especially in the comedy world, a lot of comedians feel that they need a podcast as well. And I'm like, I'm always like, no, you don't need it. But like, if you have a really good idea for a podcast and you're really excited to do a podcast, then great. Like, start a podcast. But that'd be my number one thing. I'm going to let Joe handle the next one while I think about
thousands of pieces of advice. You crushed it out. That was a good advice.
That was. And so really, it's just a generic advice question. Is there other advice that you've received that's been really useful? Or do you have other insights that you want to share about things you now know that you didn't know before that would have been helpful? This is just picking your brains. People need to be inspired. This is where we leave them with like, they're good. Like, I want everybody to stop listening when this episode is over. Not before, not 1 second before.
Cool.
You jerks. And I want them to feel inspired to go build a Forever Dog competitor. So that's what we're trying to do.
Well, first of all, if anyone decides to compete with us, go ahead.
I'll see in court.
Yeah, look, the industry's saturated. All three companies is enough, guys. All right. All three comedy podcast companies. No, my advice would be that, Alex made a really good point. It has to, from a business standpoint, some advice would be, I've never been so flabbergasted by a question before. Why would anyone ask us advice? Here's some advice. We learned from watching you guys, the folks that, you know, came before us, you know, the mid-rolls and the earwolves and the people like that, and do a ton of market research, industry research. Look, you know, follow, there's a million little podcast blogs and things and decisions and different people making decisions. And we follow that stuff, like the Gimlet rounds and, you know, the scripts buying all that, all the business stuff, like really get into the industry now. It's totally the Wild West. There's no rules. There's no unions. There's no anything yet. And, you know, there's just like so much opportunity and it's not that I wasn't a dig at unions. I'm just saying that podcasts are nuts right now. And here's a good advice. If anybody tries to if anybody tries to tell you that's not how it's done in the podcast industry, you can go ahead and throw that out because that's not true. There's a million ways to do things. And I think that if you are a really good collaborator and you listen to people and you are fair and you're transparent in your dealings with them, then there's always common ground and you can always work together and you don't have to ascribe to what anybody tells you about how it has to be. You know,
yes.
That's my advice.
I have another
one. I want listeners standing up and clapping along right now. Go ahead.
I have a follow-up to Joe's as well, is like when you're starting out, like surround yourself with the most talented people that you know. Like surround yourself with people who love what you're trying to learn and ask them as many questions as possible. Because on the surface, like, you know, podcasting is very easy. But then when you get into the weeds, it's like, okay, like how does good sound work? How do you market it? How do you, like, all these different questions. And, you know, I how we kind of got off the ground was we were lucky enough to know a lot of like really great audio engineers and bringing them in and having them at like bring us through how microphone and sound work. Yeah, and then like, you know, we were theater people in college. So like from the business side of things, bringing people in to help us kind of understand what the business world looks like. So
I got to say, Lex, so finding mentors in this industry has been really difficult for us, not because people are mean. People are actually pretty nice in podcasting. It's just, I guess it's a small world. And getting good advice is difficult. So I guess I need to go back and listen to all the ends of the Wolf Den podcasts.
This is I mean, I'm telling you, this is how Serial started. Sarah Koenig listened to the end of every Wolf Den.
Okay, shit, we got to get back.
Joe, Alex, thank you so much for being here. Where can Wolf Den listeners find you online? Where should they go? How can they consume as much you and Forever Dog content as possible?
Everybody go to foreverdogpodcasts.com. We have a wonderful slate of shows that are really funny. And sorry, Lex, but I think it's true. If you're enjoying Earwolf podcasts, then you very much might enjoy Forever Dog podcasts as well.
Oh, no, don't be sorry. I think that's exactly right. Listen, people listen to more than one thing, and I got no problem with that.
Thank you very much. Love it. We do. So that's really, 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 really nice of you. No, we don't.
Oh, well, thank you.
So please check out foreverdogpodcast.com. You can find all of our podcasts everywhere. Thank you so much for having us here. That's so nice of you. And we hope some of your listeners come over and check out some Forever Dog shows.
I would love that. Well, thank you both again. Thanks, Alex. Thanks, Joe. Brett, I'll see you in hell. Thanks to Harry Nelson and Jared O'Connell in the booth. Don't forget to subscribe to The Wolf Den at earwolf.com, Stitcher, or in Apple Podcasts. You can rate the show on whatever app you use. You can just go out on the street and scream, "I love The Wolf Den." We'll take it all. No thanks, of course, to Chris Bannon. But seriously, thanks. ForeverDogPodcasts.com. Don't miss these guys. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Intercom is the business messaging platform that does the manual work for you, automatically qualifying leads and scheduling demos. Their chatbot and messenger free you up to focus on the prospects most likely to convert. You can leave your pipeline to chance, or you could use Intercom. Start for free at intercom.com/growth. That's intercom.com/growth. Have you ever listened to a podcast and thought, "I could do that"? You're in luck. Squarespace, the juggernaut of podcast advertising, used to be my nickname, has partnered with Gimlet Creative to find the next great podcast host. The search will be documented in a podcast hosted by Jonathan Goldstein, host of Gimlet Media's Heavyweight podcast. If you're a U.S. resident over the age of 18, you can submit your podcast idea by visiting castingcallshow.com. Submissions close May 21st. Don't wait. Submit your idea for the next great podcast at castingcallshow.com. That's castingcallshow.com by May 21st.
Hello, hello. This is Nagin Farsad. I am a comedian, a writer, a honey mustard enthusiast. I also host a podcast on Earwolf called Fake the Nation. So here's the deal. Every Thursday, I invite two of my favorite politically savvy comedian pals and policy buffs, and we kvetch about news and politics. And I'm talking about people like W. Kamau Bell, Robin Thede, Brian Safi, Asif Manvi, John Lovett. Guys, the list goes on. What I'm saying is we get very funny, fancy people. And together we chat about things like the Russia investigation, Syria, the EPA, you know, just some of the light stuff. But we also do the light stuff. And we do it in three tasty little segments that are rung in with this cool bell. Yeah, that's the bell. So, you guys, check out Fake the Nation on Stitcher or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. There's new episodes every Thursday evening.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Want to hear Earwolf pilots before anybody else? We made a podcast feed just for you. Earwolf Presents is full of great stuff, like preview episodes for upcoming shows, peeks behind the paywall, and pilots for podcasts that haven't even been made yet. It's like getting to listen in behind the scenes here at Earwolf. Starting January 21st, Earwolf Presents will have a bunch of new pilots for you, like Edgar Montplaisir's The Wokest. Catch conversations between the wokest man in the world and comedians like Reza Lechea. Also, hear upcoming pilots The Florida Cast, Wow, You're Native American Too?, This Week in Sports, and Carl Alarm all throughout the month. Let us know what you think of them with hashtag Earwolf Presents. Subscribe to Earwolf Presents to hear more great episodes from around the network and behind the paywall, like an episode of Drew Tarver's Strictly Business with Derek Contrera, or Act One of Matt Besser's punk musical, Stolen Idea. Just search for Earwolf Presents in your podcast app and subscribe so you don't miss an update.